Chapter 8. Travis Meyer, CPA and lawyer, explained to me over the phone how he'd sold the ring I'd found to one of the dealers he knew in Cleveland and wired the money to an offshore bank for tax purposes.
"The money's currently being processed for you," Meyer said on the other end of the line, "and I should have it ready by the end of the day."
"Really?" I asked in surprise. "That fast? I was expecting all of this to take longer."
"Compared to the amounts I'm used to dealing with," the button-down man replied, "this isn't that much money, which makes things go a lot faster. I was able to sell the ring for $8,000, but I imagine the amount you'll get from the other pieces you describe will take longer. I recommended holding the proceeds from those sales as cryptocurrency for a while after the sales, so it doesn't raise too many questions."
"That's great," I said into the phone. "Thank you so much."
"This is just what I do, Mr. Hill," Meyer said in a flat tone. "No need to thank me. As we discussed, I took a small commission out of the proceeds of the ring, about $1,290, which is 15% for my work."
"I thought you said 20, I clarified.
"I did," he said. "But this was easier than I thought. My associate was intrigued by the piece, so he lowered the fee he charged me."
"Oh, that's great," I said, and I realized that he was being super honest with me. The guy could have just taken all the money, but because it didn't cost him as much as he thought, he'd pass the savings to me.
"The rest will be in an account I set up for you."
"You're setting up an account for me?"
"Yes. There's a thing called attorney-client privilege, which means you don't have to answer questions about things you don't know about. And I don't have to answer questions about things I know about because they're your business. I'll have Alice send you the details for that shortly."
"Okay," I said. "How should I go about selling the other pieces of jewelry?"
"Along with your account information," Meyer replied. "My receptionist will send you a list of names and numbers for some art and jewelry dealers I've worked with in the past. Most of them are very reputable, but I would suggest you don't let any of them talk you into any business ventures unless you're absolutely sure what you're getting into. And please don't sign anything without letting me look at it first."
"All right," I said. "I can do that. How does this work from here, though? Do I pay you a retainer or something?"
"Until you build up some capital, we can continue with me earning a percentage of the money I handle for you. We'll stick with 15% for now. If you find more items on your property, or if you decide to invest your money with my help, we can talk about a monthly retainer then."
"That sounds just fine," I said with a warm feeling in my chest as I looked at the chest of gold and silver sitting on my living room floor. "I'll let you know as soon as I go to sell the other items I found."
"Excellent," Meyer replied. "Unless you have any other questions, Mr. Hill, I hope you enjoy the rest of your day."
I said goodbye to the CPA and hung up the phone. I was excited as hell, but I was also exhausted from my trip into the gloom and having been up all night.
"I need to get some sleep, Ibsith," I told the elven woman sitting on the couch.
"But after I get up, I'd like to take you out, since you've been cooped up in this place the last few days."
"Out where?"
the elven woman asked as her face lit up. I thought for a moment. It was probably best not to go out in public with the blue-skinned woman just yet, but I had another idea. "I'm going to take you gigging," I grinned.
"What is gigging?"
the elf asked and cocked her head curiously.
"You'll see," I teased. "It's a hell of a lot of fun. I think you'll like it."
"Then I will look forward to this fun gigging,"
she said with a smile.
"Enjoy your rest, Eddie."
A few minutes later, I took a quick shower and then got into bed. The couch was fine, but it was old and not the most comfortable thing in the world. It was nice to lay down in a proper bed again, and the pillow smelled like Ibsith's hair, which quickly lulled me to sleep. By the time I woke up, it was late afternoon, and I was starving. So I got up, got dressed, and gathered what we would need for our little trip into the countryside. Then I went out into the shed where I'd noticed a few gigs, which looked like a little pitchfork on long poles. I'd have to stop somewhere and pick up some galoshes for Ibsith and myself since we'd be in a swampy area, but we could get those along the way. "Are you ready?" I asked the elven woman as I walked back inside with a grin.
"I believe so,"
she said with an apprehensive smile.
"All right, let's go."
We went out the front door, and I assumed Mrs. Whitmire had already done the rounds after our conversation this morning since I didn't see her poking her head over the fence. David Miller was out in the front yard with his kids, and I waved when he looked up, but I saw the shock register on his face as he noticed the blue-skinned woman I was helping into my truck. David did wave back politely, but the best of all was little Jenny's face, which lit up when she saw Ibseth.
"How does your cart move without a beast of burden?"
the elven woman asked as I got into the driver's seat. "It's a lot to explain," I said. "But basically it burns fuel like a fire burns wood, and the burning of this fuel helps move the vehicle without the need for an animal to pull it."
"Incredible,"
Ibseth murmured as she looked around the cab with wide violet eyes. "You'll need to buckle up," I said before I showed her what I meant with my own seatbelt. "It's to keep you safe."
"Safe from what?"
she asked as she fumbled with her own belt before it snapped in with a click. "You'll see." I started up the truck, and as it roared to life, the white-haired woman let out a startled squeak and then giggled and clapped her hands as I stepped on the gas and pulled away. Then I rolled down the window a little just so Ibseth could see the passing scenery, and she gasped as the wind whipped her white hair around like a tornado.
"It is like we are flying,"
she said as she tried to tuck the pale, wayward strands of hair behind her pointed ears, but the broad grin stretched across her face said she was enjoying the ride. "You haven't even seen real speed," I called over the wind, and then I pressed down a little harder on the gas just to listen to her squeal. There was nothing better than flying down a country road with the wind in my hair and a beautiful woman sitting beside me, and I couldn't stop smiling. We stopped first at a drive-thru, and I ordered some burgers, fries, and a couple of milkshakes. I figured I would make it a proper Midwestern date night so Ibseth could get the full Ohio experience. Then I pulled into a parking lot so we could eat and handed the blue-skinned woman her food and milkshake.
"This is the most amazing food you have given me yet, Eddie."
She gushed happily as she took another bite. A little bit of mayo and ketchup was smeared across the corner of her mouth, but the mess just made her look all the more adorable.
"Are all your cities so large?"
"This is actually a small town," I said as I looked around at the fast food restaurants, pharmacies, and stores around us. "One day I'll take you to Cleveland, so you can see a real human city."
"I would like to see Cleveland,"
the elven woman said, and she mispronounced the word, but I didn't have the heart to correct her.
"The city of Yenny is the largest in the gloom, but it is nothing like this. The home of the chief is the biggest building there, and it is not so large as many of the buildings here."
"Well, I'm happy to expand your horizons," I chuckled before I dipped a fry in my milkshake. Ibseth watched me with curious violet eyes, and then she set down her burger and picked up her own milkshake. She took off the lid as I had, and then she hesitantly dipped the tip of a fry into the ice cream, stared at it for a moment, and popped it into her mouth.
"Oh, so sweet!"
Her lips widened into an O of surprise, and she brought the cup to her mouth and attempted to take a big gulp of her shake. "Careful!" I started before I watched a glob of melted ice cream drop onto her chin, skate across her jaw, and then drip down into her cleavage. "Ah, never mind." Ibseth hummed happily as she swallowed her mouthful of milkshake, but then she inhaled sharply, and her eyes narrowed into slits.
"Ow!"
she hissed as she curled into herself.
"Eddie! Oh, Eddie, it hurts between my eyes!"
"That's called a brain freeze," I said with a sympathetic smile. "It's why you should eat cold food slowly. The pain should disappear in a minute."
"Yes, it's fading now."
The elven woman sighed before she looked up at me.
"Why must it taste so good if you must eat it slowly?"
"I don't know." I chuckled and then I reached over without thinking and wiped up the smear of ice cream on her chin. Her skin was warm beneath my fingertips, and when I glanced up, I realized the two of us were inches away from each other. Her gaze seemed to be locked onto my lips, and hers parted as my thumb froze on the point of her chin. A still, breathless moment passed as the world spun, and my eyes seemed to fall into her violet orbs endlessly.
"Eddie,"
she whispered softly, and the sound sent a shiver of pleasure down my spine that made me pull my hand away from her face.
Let's finish up eating," I said as I picked up the remains of my burger. "We still have a lot to do today, little lady."
"Gigging, yes?"
Ibseth asked as she broke the word up into two separate syllables.
"I still do not know what this is."
"It's a surprise," I grinned, "but you'll understand soon enough." Once we finished eating, we stopped at Walmart to pick up the waiters, and Ibseth's eyes were everywhere as she looked around the aisles of food and goods for sale. Of course, people stared back at us, but I chose to ignore them. Life with an elven princess meant people were going to stare, and I was fine with that. I also wasn't too worried about anyone taking pictures and posting them online, which was inevitable. It would probably end up in one of those People of Walmart websites and be completely forgotten, and social media was filled with people dressed all sorts of ways these days. As long as I acted like it was completely normal, it would be written off as another LARPer or cosplayer girl living her best weird life.
Your world is so rich,
Ibsith said to me as we entered the shoe section.
More food than I have ever seen in my life. Anything you could want, here in one shop the size of a village. Are all humans prosperous?
Not all of them, I said as I looked around at the galoshes. But we're pretty lucky in this country, which is like a kingdom or a tribe. There are people who don't have enough, even some who don't have homes. But mostly, it's better to be poor here than it would be anywhere else in the world. After we paid for the waiters, I started the drive out into the countryside, and Ibsith looked out of the window as the sun set.
What are those large animals?
She asked as we passed a field. Those are cows, I said, as I looked out at the Guernsey cows grazing lazily. Those are what the burgers we ate are made from.
Then they are delicious,
the elven woman said with a firm nod, and she settled back into her seat.
Could we purchase one? That way we could have these burgers all the time.
I don't particularly have the room for cattle right now, so we'll have to stick to fast food burgers. I chuckled, but then I thought about the empty lot in my neighborhood, behind my lot. Maybe I could buy it and turn that into a pasture one day. But that day was far off, so I focused on the present. Finally, we came to the marshy area around a small pond, where I knew there would likely be plenty of frogs. Then we got out of the truck, and I pulled out the gigs and a flashlight. How well can you see right now? I asked the blue-skinned woman.
I can see perfectly, Eddie,
she replied. It was a clear night, so I'd hoped that Ibsith's eyes, which were used to the dim light of the gloom, would be able to see in the moonlight without help, and it looked like I'd been right. Ah, man, I snorted. You're going to be good at this. So here's the idea. We're going to quietly walk into this marshy area, and in the stagnant pools of water, there are going to be these little green things called frogs. We use these poles to spear the frogs, and then we'll cook them up. They're not much to look at, but if you cook frogs' legs upright, they're delicious.
We just left a place full of food,
the oven woman said with a furrowed brow.
Why do we need to gather more food?
We do it for fun, I grinned. And they don't sell frog legs at Walmart. I'm going to let you stalk the frogs, so when you spot one, point it out to me. I'll take the flashlight and blind it, and then you can spear it, and really go for it. You want the gig to go about 6 inches through it, and right behind the head if you can.
As you wish,
Ibsith said with a skeptical look, but she was smiling a little at the idea. I handed the elven woman a gig and kept the other, with the flashlight in my other hand, and as we waded through the water at the edge of the pond, Ibsith and I scanned the water for signs of movement. It was about 10 minutes before our slow progress dislodged the first bullfrog from his hiding place. That's one! I exclaimed in a loud whisper, and shone the beam of the flashlight onto the yellow-throated frog to blind him. The white-haired woman brought the gig down with terrific force, but the bullfrog jumped out of the way and deeper into the water before she struck.
I missed,
Ibsith pouted. That's fine, there's plenty more where he came from, I replied. Let's keep looking. Don't be afraid to get in there. The blue-skinned woman and I waded a little deeper in, almost up to our knees, and then Ibsith pointed to a green frog in the murky water. I turned the beam of the flashlight on it, and this time the curvy elf speared the little amphibian before it got away.
I did it!
Ibsith brought up her gig to see the frog hanging limply from the prongs, and she flashed me a proud smile. Yeah, you did, I said in an approving tone. Great job, but we only need to catch about 15 of them, so let's try to focus on the bigger ones with the yellow throats. There's better eating on them. We waded up to our knees into the pond and worked together to spot the frogs, but Ibsith's eyes were far better suited for the dark, and she could see them before I did. It was fun being out here with her. Most of the girls I'd taken gigging before had been grossed out by the frogs, and they usually refused to actually be the one with the gig. They'd say it was cruel or gross, even though they were fine with eating meat bought from the grocery store. But Ibsith was more connected to the facts of life, like the idea that meat came from somewhere and didn't just appear magically in a cold case. After we'd caught our share of frogs, I put them into a cooler I had brought. and we sat in the back of the truck to dry off in the warm summer night air. Then we took off our waders. I hung up our socks on the side of the truck bed to let them dry a little. Ibsith settled in next to me and laid her head on my shoulder as I looked for a playlist on my phone. And then I found one of old country hits, set the phone on one of the wheel wells, and let it play.
This is perfect.
The elven woman breathed as we looked up at the stars.
I never imagined life could be like this. So calm and peaceful. So magical and wonderful. I am so glad you saved me, Eddie.
I'm glad I found you, I said quietly as I put an arm around the white-haired woman. The last few days have felt like a dream.
Is this how it always is on the surface?
Ibsith asked.
I have never known such freedom. All my life, others have made every decision for me. What I wore, where I went, what I would do. The freedom here is intoxicating.
For the most part, I said with a shrug. Most people work a job they may hate, but most people here are free to do what they want to do, wear what they want, marry the person they love, and do what they like in their free time.
I could not imagine such a life,
the elven woman said as she placed a delicate hand on my chest.
I always thought my father would choose a man for me to marry, probably a chief or a rich merchant from another tribe. Then he died, and Ursinger became chief. He refused to let me marry and said he would take me to have his children so his line could be pure.
That's awful, I said, and my lip curled in hatred for the bastard. Is that something that happens normally in the gloom? Brothers and sisters getting married?
No,
Ibsith said, and I could hear the revulsion in her voice.
Ursinger is unnatural. He was not even supposed to be the chief of the Yeni, but he killed our father's other heirs when father grew old and sickly, so he would be chief one day.
Jesus, I muttered. Why didn't anyone do something?
There was nothing to do.
The elven woman sighed and shook her head.
He and his lapdog, Genius, had already built a powerful group of supporters, and with the other heirs dead, the law favored him. Then his eyes fell to me, and he became jealous at the thought of another taking my virginity. When he came to me, he said he would favor me above his other wives and raise our first son up to be chief. Then, when I refused him, he said no other would have me, and that I would serve as a temple maiden until I changed my mind and eagerly agreed to take his seed.
No wonder you ran away, I said, and my heart broke for Ibsith and all she'd been through. Why didn't you just take a lover? If you weren't a virgin, then Ursinger wouldn't have had anything over you.
If I had done that, then Ursinger would have killed me.
The blue-skinned woman replied with a shudder.
And the man I'd chosen. It was not a possibility I would have even considered.
I'm sorry. I murmured for lack of anything better to say. Suddenly, Ibsith sat up and turned her body to look at me, and her pouty lips parted slightly.
But Ursinger is far from here.
The beautiful elf said as her violet eyes roved over my face.
And I have the power to make my own choices now. That is why I choose you, Eddie Hill.
Wait, what? I asked as I sat up a little and frowned down at the woman. What are you... Before I could finish, Ibsith leaned in and kissed me gently, and her heavy breasts pressed against my chest as her tongue shyly parted my lips. A fire lit inside me as I froze in shock. But then I started to kiss the elven woman back, as every late-night thought of her and secret desire inside of me fanned to life. I could feel as my blood rushed to my core, and the beginnings of my erection pressed against the constraining fabric of my jeans. The blue-skinned woman moaned as she straddled me with my back against the cab of the truck, and we continued to kiss. Our wet tongues met with an electric jolt that thrilled me and caused Ibsith to sigh softly from the desires she'd never known before. I moved my hands across her thin waist and up her back, and I tried not to let my eagerness for the lushly figured woman run away with me. The elven woman had never been with a man, so I needed to take my time. I hadn't been with a virgin since I'd been one myself, but I wanted Ibsith to experience what it was like when a lover put her pleasure first. I began to kiss the velvety skin of her neck, and I teased her with my lips and tongue.
Oh, Eddie.
The white-haired woman sighed, and her back arched from the feeling.
My prince, my king, you are the one I want.
I could feel her hips begin to make instinctive movements, and I kissed and teased her with my tongue. My jeans began to feel like a prison cell, and my desire for her grew until it felt like my blood was going to boil. "You're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen," I purred into her soft neck. "I've wanted you since the moment I saw you." I moved my hands down the blue-skinned woman's shoulder blades, then around to her large, firm breasts, and could feel the buds of her nipples through the thin shirt. Ibsith gasped, and my fingers teased the peaks of her breasts through her clothes. I slowly pulled off the elven woman's t-shirt and watched as her long hair tumbled back down around her shoulders. Then, with a shy, rosy blush flushing her cheeks, Ibsith took hold of the hem of my shirt and pulled it over my head, too. I took hold of the blue-skinned woman's waist, lifted her, and gently placed her on her back. As she looked up at me with her innocent, violet eyes, Ibsith removed her sports bra, and her full breasts bounced slightly as the tight garment came away from her flawless skin and revealed her plum-colored nipples.
"Take me, Eddie,"
she breathed as she reached up to pull me on top of her.
"Claim my maidenhood. Make me your own. Fill me with your seed so no other man can ever have me."
The elven woman pulled me to her, and we kissed passionately as her wet pink tongue smoothly writhed against mine. Then I moved from her mouth, down her neck, and to her amazing breasts, and I sucked and licked her sweet flesh. "I want to kiss every inch of you," I growled, and I pulled the tight leggings down. "I want to know how you taste." Ibsith moaned as she arched her back.
"Yes, Eddie, I like it when you do that. You can taste me everywhere."
As I pulled down the violet-eyed woman's leggings, I worked my mouth down her chest and stomach. Then the leggings came away, and I saw the sparse white wisp of hair above her pussy. There were already small beads of moisture there, and the elven woman gently writhed with anticipation. "God, you're beautiful," I said as I looked at Ibsith in her full glory. I kissed her stomach and slowly worked my way down, and then I teased my fingers along her thighs.
"What are you doing, Eddie?"
Ibsith breathed, and her tone was confused and excited at the same time. "I want to make you come," I whispered between kisses.
"Come?"
the elven woman asked between tiny gasps.
What is that?"
"Oh," I grinned. "You'll see." I leaned down, gently parted the small lips of her pussy with my fingers, and teasingly licked at the soft folds of Ibsith's clit. The blue-skinned woman's back arched as I continued to suck and lick her, and her taste was sweet and tangy.
"By the gods!"
the white-haired woman keened. I brought my hand up her thigh again, and then I pushed my index finger into her tight, slick hole, and slowly moved it in and out of her. Ibsith mewled.
"Oh, your mouth, Eddie! Oh, I never knew!"
I started to suck and lick her with more force, and I pushed my finger deeper inside her as her inner muscles began to contract. Ibsith groaned as I lapped at her clit.
"Oh, something is happening! Oh, yes, Eddie!"
I increased my pace as I felt the elven woman's pleasure mounting, and then there was a warm, wet gush of fluids that I lapped up greedily, while Ibsith moaned and spasmed against me.
"Oh, that is wonderful."
The blue-skinned woman purred happily as I raised my head. "There's more to come," I said as I raised myself up and unbuckled my pants. I pulled off my jeans and boxers to finally free my erection from its restrictive cage, and Ibsith looked at me with wide eyes.
"It's so pretty."
She sighed with eager apprehension.
"Will it fit inside of me?"
"It will," I smiled, reached down, and pulled the elven woman on top of me as I laid on my back, and the feeling of her skin against mine made me burn with desire.
"Oh."
She trembled in my grasp.
I've thought about this moment. With you, I'm so grateful."
"This part might hurt a little," I gently warned her, "but we'll take it slowly."
"I am ready for you, my king."
Ibsith purred, and I took hold of her hips and guided the beautiful woman until she slid her tight pussy down around my pulsing erection. Ibsith gasped with a mix of pleasure and pain as I slowly bottomed out inside her. "Fuck!" My head bent back as my eyes rolled up into my head, and I locked my hands onto her waist. God, you're so tight. Are you okay?
I believe so.
She whimpered before she tentatively slid up my shaft and back down.
Oh, that feels...
Good? I rumbled.
Yes.
Ibsith panted as she began to move up and down, slowly at first, but then with a growing eagerness.
Oh, Eddie, I love how your manhood fills me. You feel so good inside me, so hard, yet it's smooth and gentle inside me. It feels like we are a perfect fit.
We are, I whispered. A perfect fit. We moved together there in the open air of the summer night, and my hands gripped Ibsith's round thighs as waves of pleasure washed over me. The elven woman threw her head back as she continued to bounce on my cock, and I moved in and out of her tight, wet pussy.
Oh!
Her soft whimpers were in time with how her hips moved forward on my cock, and I could feel her incredibly tight tunnel beginning to squeeze me more. Ah, Ibsith! I growled as I looked up at her, naked, bathed in moonlight, and impaled on my dick. You're so tight and wet. You feel so fucking incredible. As Ibsith began to grind against me harder, the bucking of her hips grew faster, and I could feel her muscles begin to clench again as she started to come for a second time.
Oh!
She keened as she came again.
Oh, yes! Oh, my king!
Come for me, Ibsith. I bucked my hips up to hit Ibsith's G-spot, and she shouted in pleasure as she spasmed around me. Her warm juices slid out along my shaft and dripped onto my pelvis, and she shook like a leaf in a hurricane as her orgasm coursed through her from head to toe. Eventually, the elven woman's movements slowed down as she panted, but then she pouted down at me through hazy violet eyes.
You did not finish.
She panted, and a frown marred her beautiful lips.
Was it not as pleasurable for you as it was for me?
What are you talking about? I grinned and flexed my fingers around the juts of her hips. That was incredible. I'm just not done with you yet. Now wrap your legs around me.
Okay.
The grip of Ibsith's thighs tightened, and I picked her up, knelt, and pressed her back against the cab of the truck, with my hard cock still inside her. Hold on. I rumbled. Then I began to thrust against her, and my hands gripped tightly around her supple thighs to help hold her up as I kissed and sucked on her magnificent, plum-colored nipples.
Oh, yes, my king!
Ibsith purred again in my ear.
Fill me with your strong seed.
Not before you come for me again. I growled, and then I slammed my cock deep inside her and circled my hips so my pelvis would press against her swollen clit. Ibsith gasped as her eyes flew open, and then she dug her nails into my shoulders and held on for the ride. I fucked her like this for several minutes, and all too soon I could sense the telltale fluttering of her walls that signaled an impending orgasm. I pinned her harder against the truck cab as I quickened my pace, and then I snaked a hand between us to rub at her clitoris. Come for me, baby, I said again. Come for me, and I'll fill you up like you want. Ibsith wailed as she threw her head back and her pussy clamped down around me like a vice. I could feel a pressure mounting in my groin with every thrust, and I was no longer able to hold it back. I came inside Ibsith as the blood roared through my ears, and I could have sworn the stars fell from the sky to dance across my vision. I gave several more deep thrusts as my cock shot out rope after rope of cum, and my ejaculation dripped from her sweet pussy as I slowed to a stop and panted. Fuck. Ibsith, that was... I held her there for a moment as I recovered, and Ibsith gently stroked my shoulders and hair with a sigh of contentment.
That was better than I could have ever dreamed or hoped for.
She murmured and nuzzled her face into my neck.
Thank you, Eddie.
I think I should be thanking you. I chuckled groggily before we slid to the bed of the truck in each other's arms. Ibsith and I laid there in the back of my truck as the warm night air caressed our naked skin, and I realized that all of the treasures I'd found in the gloom, nothing compared to her. We listened to Hank Williams lamenting his loneliness as my phone continued to play there on the wheel well.
I could lay here forever, I said as I held the elven woman close to me. But we should probably get those frogs home before the ice melts.
Home.
Ibsith echoed with a soft smile that would have taken me out at the knees if I'd been standing.
Yes. Let us return home. Our home. Eddie, I am so happy right now to be filled with you and to have our lives ahead of us.
I kissed the blue-skinned woman's forehead gently before we got up and got dressed again. And as I watched Ibsith pull her leggings up over her full, round hips, I felt like the luckiest man in the world. Everything about her was incredible, and I knew right then I would do whatever was in my power to keep her happy, safe, and with me forever. Once we were dressed, the white-haired woman and I got into the cab of the truck and drove back to Westhurst. Back at home, we brought in the cooler and the gigs and left our waiters out on the front porch to finish drying. Then I started processing the frogs we'd caught, and once I showed Ibsith how to cut off the legs at the hip joint and remove the skin with some needle-nose pliers, she helped me. It was late, but I'd gotten on a night owl's sleeping schedule, so I pulled out some eggs and breadcrumbs and fried them up, since they would be best while fresh.
I have never known a man to cook before,
Ibsith said as she watched me dip the breaded frog legs in the hot oil. I think it's a good skill to have, I said, as I watched for the golden brown color that would let me know the legs were ready to come out. I've lived alone for a while, and no one wants to eat frozen dinners all the time.
That is why you need wives,
the elven woman said.
To take care of all the little things so you would not have to concern yourself with them.
I kind of like cooking sometimes, I chuckled, but it's nice to have someone else do it. And on the surface, people only have one wife. Well, not everyone, but usually.
That sounds lonely.
Ibsith frowned as she helped by breading the next round of legs.
For the wives, as well as the husband. In my father's harem, there was always someone to help with the children and the daily chores. A proper household could not be run by only two people. There should be one man, and the number of wives he has indicates how successful he is as a provider.
I can see the advantage, I said as I used tongs to pull some legs from the oil. My mom would always say, many hands make light work, but that was usually just to get me to do my chores. It was just me and my parents growing up, but I could see where a big family might have been less lonely.
I do not wish to be lonely like that,
the elven woman said emphatically.
So I think you should have at least 6 more wives.
6! I snorted, but then the meaning of what she said hit me, and I looked up at her with wide eyes. Wait, are you saying you're my wife now?
If you want me,
the blue-skinned woman said as she dropped her gaze shyly.
But I would be happy simply as your mistress.
You hardly know me, I said as I stopped frying to study the beautiful woman. And you're sure that's what you want?
I know you are kind and generous,
the elven woman replied as she lifted her head and looked deep into my eyes.
This is more than I could have ever asked for in a husband, and my body is filled with your seed. I willingly accepted it, so I will soon bear your children. That is what you want.
Children. I'd only known Ibsith for a matter of days, and I knew that was fast to feel the way I did about her. But something felt right about the idea. Even making babies with her didn't inspire any terror in my mind. But I wondered if it was even possible, since we were different species.
I would be honored if I bore your children and was your wife.
She cast her eyes downward again, and her nervousness almost broke my heart. Well, then, you shall be my wife, I replied, and that right feeling in my chest only intensified as I said the words.
Really?
The white-haired woman breathed as she clasped her hands in front of her. I love you, Ibsith, I said. I'm not sure when exactly it happened, and I know this is fast, but I'm sure I do.
And I love you, Eddie Hill,
Ibsith said as she threw her arms around me, and we kissed again. Some of the legs had burned while we declared our love to each other, but that was a small thing compared to what I just found. We finished frying up the rest of the frog legs and sat to eat on the couch together, curled up and content as we watched an old black-and-white film together. Afterwards, we went back into the bedroom and fell asleep in each other's arms after we consummated our love again. I laid awake a little while, listening to the soft sounds of Ibsith breathing as she slept. I never thought I could be so happy, and my cheeks were aching from smiling too much. But I couldn't even complain. Eventually, I fell asleep,
and by the time I woke up, I could smell breakfast being made in the kitchen by my new wife. Wife, as strange as it was, I really liked the sound of that. Then I looked at my phone and saw it was already late morning, so I rolled out of bed and went out of the bedroom to see what Ibsith was making. When I stepped into the kitchen, I froze in surprise. The elf princess was dressed in one of the smallest French maid outfits I'd ever seen as she flipped lengths of bacon in a frying pan, and I could see the bare curve of her ass peeking out beneath the skirt and where the long thigh-high stockings pinched the plush skin of her legs. All the blood pretty much rushed to my dick. "Not that I'm complaining," I said as I looked the blue-skinned woman up and down. "But where'd you get that?"
"Do you like it?"
Ibsith giggled as she took a step away from the stove and did a little turn. The maid outfit barely fit over my wife's massive breasts, and the string of the halter-style top strained against the effort of holding their weight. The skirt was so short that it hovered slightly above the tiny, sheer black panties, where the cheeks of her round, supple ass peeked out on either side in a perfect heart shape. It was sexy as hell, but it was also clearly at least a size too small.
"I saw it on your top lap,"
the elven woman said with a happy smile.
"I thought it would please you, so I pressed a yellow button like I saw in the plays I watched. Then there was a knock on the door and a man delivered it this morning."
I should have guessed there was a possibility Ibsith would accidentally order something, since some of my credit card information had been added to my Amazon account. When I had her look at clothing she might want the other day, she must have clicked the Buy Now feature or something, but I couldn't fault her for that. I just made a mental note to sell more of my gold soon, in case anything else had been accidentally ordered. "I like it very much," I grinned as I stepped toward the white-haired woman, but then there was a knock on the door. I was mildly annoyed that my thoughts of continuing what was essentially my honeymoon had been interrupted, but I went to answer the door. I was expecting to see another delivery guy, but when I opened the door, it was Brock Stanton standing on the porch. Hi, I said as I quickly stepped onto the porch and closed the door behind me so the stern asshole didn't see the half-naked night elf woman in a French maid's outfit cooking breakfast for me. "Can I help you?"
"Hey, Eddie,"
Stanton said as he craned his neck to look into my living room before the door closed all the way.
"I just wanted to drop by and say hi. I haven't properly welcomed you to the neighborhood."
"That's nice of you," I said, but I suspected that wasn't really what he wanted.
"I'm the head of the neighborhood watch, you know,"
the bald man went on, but there was a weird note to the statement.
"You know, keeping an eye on things, making sure everyone's safe."
"Good to know," I said in a neutral tone.
"Maybe you'd like to come to a meeting,"
Stanton continued.
"Get to know the other neighbors."
"If I have time," I replied, but I really just wanted out of this awkward interaction.
"Oh," the bald man said with a smirk. "Did you find regular work then, Eddie?"
"I work from home mostly," I said, which was kinda true. "I expect to be pretty busy, you understand."
"Of course,"
Brock replied with the same self-satisfied smirk.
"Working from home, I bet your girlfriend likes that. I've heard she's a little different."
So, that's what this was about. Mrs. Whitmire must have spread the word. If there was a neighborhood watch, I was sure the nosy old woman was an active member. "Yeah," I said, as I moved closer to the door to telegraph I was done with the conversation. "She's kind of shy, keeps mostly to herself. Actually, we're about to eat, so if you'll excuse me..."
"I wouldn't dream of imposing,"
Stanton lied as he held up his hands.
"Just remember, the neighborhood watch will be keeping an eye out for everyone."
"Don't worry about us," I said in a falsely pleasant tone. "We can look out for ourselves." Before the asshole could respond, I stepped through the door and closed it behind me. Back inside, Ibsith proudly held up a plate of eggs and bacon for us both, so we sat down and ate, and I decided not to let Stanton ruin the day. Then I checked my email after breakfast and saw Alice had sent the information for my new bank account. I had some money for the improvements on the fence and locking the entrance to the tunnels in my backyard, so I knew how I was going to spend the day.